produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Wednesday, April 30th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Don't forget to call your Congress and tell them to support H.R. 5842 and H.R. 5843 to end DEA raids in medical marijuana states and to legalize personal possession of marijuana. The number is 202-224-3121. If you have a product that you would like to market to the cannabis community, you can advertise on the Daily Audio Stash. Your ad will be focused on exactly the customer base you're seeking out, the thousands of responsible cannabis consumers who download and listen to this show. Our listeners are educated consumers who want to support the businesses that support the growing truth about cannabis, and we deliver the advertising freedom you won't find on radio, TV, or print ads. To advertise on the Daily Audio Stash, send us an email at stash@normal.org. Wednesday is Cannabis Science Day on the Stash, and coming up after the news, we're separating the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Today, Dr. Mitch and I discuss your responses to the story of German weed contaminated with lead, and we take another look at Prime Minister Gordon Brown's reefer madness in the UK. Cannabis Carrie brings us our musical break this Hemp Day Hump Day with a return appearance by Sly Joe and the Smooth Operators. Today, we'll hear their cover of the classic Bob Marley tune, Mellow Mood. And of course, we're all getting ready this weekend for the opening event of the summer cannabis festival season with this Saturday's Global Marijuana March, taking place in over 200 cities worldwide. Check out our website at stash.normal.org for a link to the Global Marijuana March. You can find the city near you. Yesterday, we spoke with Madeline Martinez, who is organizing Portland, Oregon's version of the march, and today I'm giving you a replay twofer with Cameron Rose in Boise, Idaho, and Brad Ernst in Austin, Texas. I also want to encourage all listeners who attend the march to send me your photos, videos, and audio for next week, and I'll post them to the blog and play them on the Stash. Just send them to stash@normal.org. So welcome to the show. Grab your best glass and sit back with your favorite strain. This is your normal daily audio stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Appeals court rejects challenge to law denying student aid to drug offenders. Opponents of a law that prevents students who are convicted of drug offenses from receiving federal financial aid were handed another legal defeat yesterday. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, upholding a 2006 decision by a U.S. district court, has refused to reinstate a lawsuit that sought to strike down the law. In its ruling, the appeals court rejected arguments by the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Foundation, which filed the appeal, that the federal law is unconstitutional. The group argued in part that denial of financial aid by the Education Department to students who have already served a court-imposed sentence violates the U.S. Constitution's ban on double jeopardy, criminally punishing someone twice for the same offense. But the appeals court said that the federal law's sanctions cannot be considered criminally punitive, especially in the double jeopardy context. So, refusing to grant federal aid for students caught smoking pot isn't a criminal punishment, therefore it's not double jeopardy. Okay, well, I guess technically speaking that's true. The student isn't being fined, imprisoned, or put under probation. But being told that you lose your financial aid for school certainly is a punishment. After all, it is called the Higher Education Act Aid Elimination Penalty, a penalty that is not meted out to any other type of criminal. Murderers, rapists, arsonists, thieves, con artists, brawlers, embezzlers, traitors, and spies can all receive financial aid, but a pot smoker cannot. New York City, now the world's marijuana arrest capital. Police busted nearly 400,000 people for carrying small amounts of pot in the last decade, making New York City the world leader in marijuana arrests, civil rights advocates said on Tuesday while unveiling a study criticizing the war on drugs. The study, by Queens College sociologist Harry G. Levin, titled Marijuana Arrest Crusade, accused police of purposefully singling out minorities during the 10-year crackdown. It said that data provided by the Division of Criminal Justice Services showed that between 1997 and 2007, 52% of the suspects were black, 31% Hispanic, and only 15% white. Laws were revised in the late 1970s to largely decriminalize carrying small, concealed stashes of marijuana, Levin said, but he claimed police routinely manufacture arrests for possession in public view, still a misdemeanor, by stopping young black men on the street and goading them into emptying their pockets. According to the study, arrests for marijuana possession began skyrocketing in the late 1990s under the Giuliani administration, a trend that continued under Mayor Michael Bloomberg at an estimated cost of between $50 and $90 million a year. There were 39,700 arrests last year alone, according to the study. The 2007 total makes the city the marijuana arrest capital of the world. The study says New York deserves that title because it devotes far more resources to arresting and jailing marijuana offenders than other large cities in Europe and elsewhere. It also cites a previous analysis of FBI data showing that 5 of the top 10 counties with highest per capita arrest rates were the 5 boroughs of New York. Well, now, police spokesman slammed the report, of course, saying Dr. Levin is a legalizer and was grossly distorting his research. Law enforcement believes that marijuana arrests are part of a quality of life policing under a theory called the broken windows theory, which states that if you ignore graffiti, broken windows, garbage, etc., then people will believe they live in a lawless zone and commit more serious crimes. The theory isn't necessarily wrong. It's the lumping of marijuana smoking in with those other misdemeanors that's the problem. It has created an adversarial relationship between young minority males and police and drives drug users toward crime and drugs that do create societal problems, like alcohol. It's okay for young adults to sit on the stoop and drink a 40-ounce of malt liquor, a drug that's proven to increase aggression and violence, but not to consume cannabis, a drug that leads to mellow happiness and social belonging. Albert Hofmann, the father of LSD, dies at 102. Paris, France. Albert Hofmann, the mystical Swiss chemist who gave the world LSD, the most powerful psychotropic substance known, died Tuesday at his hilltop home near Basel, Switzerland. He was 102. The cause was a heart attack, said Rick Doblin, founder and president of the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, a California-based group that in 2005 republished Dr. Hofmann's 1979 book, LSD, My Problem Child. Dr. Hofmann first synthesized the compound lysergic acid diethylamide in 1938, but did not discover its psychopharmacological effects until 5 years later, when he accidentally ingested the substance that became known to the 1960s counterculture as acid. He then took LSD hundreds of times, but regarded it as a powerful and potentially dangerous psychotropic drug that demanded respect. More important to him than the pleasures of the psychedelic experience was the drug's value as a revelatory aid for contemplating and understanding what he saw as humanity's oneness with nature. That perception of union which came to Dr. Hoffman as almost a religious epiphany when still a child, directed much of his personal and professional life. Whew, 102 years old. When you think about all of the technological and social changes Dr. Hoffman lived through, it's almost like an acid trip itself. Imagine, when he was 21 years old, marijuana was still legal and would be for the next 10 years of his life. He saw the first crewed airplanes all the way up to the space shuttle. He's seen flappers to pussycat dolls, World War I to Gulf War II, and women and blacks go from non-voting second-class citizens to front-runners for the Democratic nomination for president. But most of all, I'm always thrilled when outspoken users of illicit substances live long, fruitful lives. From Willie Nelson turning 75 yesterday to Dr. Hoffman living more than a century, it always reminds me that the prohibitions against drugs often have little to do with protecting our health. It also reminds me that, aside from George Burns, I rarely hear of a tobacco smoker and alcohol drinker making it to 100.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Once again, we're joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Associate Professor at the State University of New York in Albany. And Mitch, welcome back to the Daily Audio Stash.
Pleasure to be on the show.
Hey, we had a couple of stories we wanted to update people on here. And a couple of weeks ago, we had talked about the lead that had been found in some samples of German marijuana. And apparently you've gotten some response on this, and I thought we'd give you a chance to respond on air.
I've been really thrilled with the thinking behind some of the emails I've gotten about this story. As you might recall, the New England Journal of Medicine had a couple of pages written about some cases of lead poisoning they had seen in 16 to 33-year-olds. And when they finally asked these guys what was going on, they brought in some bags of pot that had some lead shavings and even some little balls of lead in there. And apparently this had contributed to this lead poisoning. Well, the geniuses, the true scholars who are our listeners, some of whom emailed me with really, you know, vocal, outspoken critiques of this idea I'm just so thrilled about. So generally people were saying, look, the boiling point of lead is really high, probably higher than the temperature of a joint. So this couldn't be true. This is some kind of weird propaganda thing, or I just don't believe this. And that's exactly the way I love having our listeners think. So I actually spoke to an industrial chemist on this, and he's got 30 years experience in basically a big industrial lab at one of the big copper plants in the U.S., and he pointed out that, in fact, it doesn't actually have to turn into vapor, so to speak, but these small flakes of lead can get inhaled even if they're just melted. They aren't necessarily boiling, so that issue was not as big a one as some of our listeners might have thought. And that the other thing is even if, you know, you don't actually see these little balls, the lead can be in there in very small shaving size and still contribute to the weight, and that those could just be inhaled even as a solid and end up in the lungs and create damage. And he, in fact, has, you know, had to take people off the floor in the factory where he used to work because lead poisoning is just so difficult to get over. And once you get lead up to a certain level, it really can be toxic and very difficult to recover from. So I just thought it was interesting that people were thinking so hard about this topic, but I also wanted to point out that the New England Journal of Medicine report does actually have some credibility.
Well, we often caution people about the toys coming over from China that were painted with lead paint. So I imagine that, you know, just being exposed to lead in any amount can't be good in any way. And not, this doesn't even go to mention the people that might be using cannabis in an edible form.
Exactly. And, of course, they don't even have the opportunity for it to ignite. So of course, it's going to all essentially go into their systems. One of our listeners in Massachusetts had emailed about the paraquat stuff we had talked about. And in the 1970s, there was a lot of scare about some Mexican marijuana that had been sprayed with this fertilizer that also could have had some toxic effects. And he just thought it sounded a little too much like one of those classic sort of urban legend type stories. But again, I really want to point out that this is just more evidence for the idea that we need a tax and regulated market in order to avoid these kind of problems. If you don't know what's in your baggie, then of course you're always going to be at risk for these kinds of things.
Well, yeah, lead and paraquat aren't the only types of things that people have adulterated pot with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, other psychoactive substances are mixed in there, and that can be a real disappointing experience for a number of folks, although that's not as common as, you know, we might often hear. And more than anything, it would just be nice to be able to know what you're getting based on a really nice regulated market.
Well, you know, we've spoken in the past about the iron law of prohibition, which basically states that when you prohibit a substance, you're guaranteed to make it more potent and more dangerous. So would the opposite of that hold true? If we were able to tax and regulate cannabis, that we might have different strains and different levels of marijuana that people might purchase, a low THC for a particular function or a high THC for a different function.
And in fact, different proportions of other cannabinoids as well. So cannabidiol, which seems to be responsible for some of the anti-anxiety and insomnia-fighting effects of cannabis, is something that could really be helpful for some folks, but not an effect other folks want, at least at certain times of the day. And so we could just have this opportunity to really take advantage of all the flexibility of this plant. It would just be a splendid thing.
Now, speaking of another story that we need to update people on, we told people about the government of Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of the UK there, and how Gordon Brown himself seems to be ready to overturn his own medical specialty board. 20 out of 23 members who recommended that cannabis stay a Class C substance. And let's, Mitch, get your update on that story.
Well, the intriguing thing to me is it's very rare for a prime minister to essentially override the wishes of any of his, you know, consulting groups. And this is the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs is a really scholarly, intense group of folks, and includes a pharmacologist whose work I know is Professor Les Iverson. He actually wrote The Science of Marijuana that's also published by Oxford, the same as my book, Understanding Marijuana. I'm a huge fan of him. The guy is just the incarnation of integrity. And he's on that board and basically said, you know, if they're going to go against what we've said, it's really going to call into question the whole point of this group. If we're going to make recommendations and you're going to override them on political things, then why even bother having us, you know, get together and review these data? And I think that kind of sends an interesting message that scientists aren't going to put up with this, that if you're going to basically make your decisions based on legend rather than data, mm-hmm. we're not going to participate. And I feel like even some of the critics of marijuana, including one of Britain's experts, Robin Murray, who's a big schizophrenia and cannabis researcher, have said it's not about classification. It's not even about penalties. It's about education. And as he points out, education costs money. Reclassifying does not. It's as if folks want to just somehow make a simple decision and put cannabis on a certain list and that all the troubles in the world are going to disappear, and obviously this is really naive. So I certainly hope that the UK can be a model for other countries on this and keep cannabis at least as a Class C drug. If not, considering, you know, a tax and regulated market there would certainly benefit. Amsterdam is not far from there. You know, the Netherlands are actually having lower rates of use than the UK now, and particularly in the folks we don't want to see using, that 12 to 18-year-old crew, they're doing better than these other governments. I think it's a good lesson for us all to consider. Perhaps it's, some interesting data that would let us all argue for, again, a tax and regulated market.
Well, it puts me in mind of the old just say no of the 1980s, that simplistic sort of thinking. Are they seeing any results there? Because I know that cannabis used to be a Class B drug, which meant it was a arrestable offense and a jailable offense, and now it's Class C, where it's treated more lightly with just a violation. So have they seen any social changes since that change?
Well, the intriguing thing is, in fact, use, and particular use in the youth, has decreased. So why you would want to mess with a good thing, I have no idea. And I feel like, again, it's some crazy argument about sending a message or something along those lines. I think what happens is, in some way, you sort of take away this forbidden fruit idea, but also you're wasting less, law enforcement time on this, and so perhaps, bigger problems are getting taken care of, and that's, of course, what we'd really like to see. And in some ways, the things that drive, 12 to 18-year-olds to use cannabis really before it's time for them to be doing so may be getting fixed up by having more law enforcement time. And also, I feel like the hypocrisy of some of the cannabis laws then disappears, and people have more respect for the law in general. And they're more willing to say, okay, I'm going to go along with all these laws because I feel like these make a certain amount of sense.
Well, we certainly hope that the Prime Minister doesn't overturn his ministry there. Like I said, 20 out of 23 of the experts said that cannabis should remain a Class C or a Class C drug in the UK. Dr. Earlywine, thanks for joining us and helping us out with those updates.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Hello, I'm Casper Leach, host of Time for Hemp. Did you know that police arrested a record 829,625 people in the United States for marijuana violations in 2006? Marijuana arrests now comprise nearly 44% of all drug arrests in the United States. Of those charged with marijuana violations, approximately 89% were charged with possession only. The total number of marijuana arrests in the United States for 2006 far exceeded the total number of arrests for all violent crimes combined. Enforcing marijuana prohibition costs taxpayers between $10 and $12 billion annually and has led to the arrest of nearly 20 million Americans. We must end this war on drugs. With your help, we can. Please join LEAP, the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and become part of the solution to ending this civil war. You can do so by going to leap.cc.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Sly Joe is back with a terrific song to take us over Hump Day, a cover of the classic Bob Marley tune, Mellow Mood. Along with his band, Sly Joe and the Smooth Operators, he puts a decidedly fresh and contemporary spin on this reggae love song. Born and raised in Wisconsin, Joe was a gifted musician from an early age, performing classical piano at 11 years old and playing guitar in Wisconsin's Honors Jazz Ensemble at 17. His playing is always fresh and imaginative, with influences like the Beatles, Zeppelin, and Jack Johnson. If you are in or near Wisconsin, you can visit Joe's MySpace page for an upcoming show dates. He's even played at Lambeau Field, my spiritual mecca! Get in a mellow mood and enjoy today's musical hit from Sly Joe. You can learn more about it from the links at our page at stash.normal.org, and you can also get an MP3 download of this song. This is Sly Joe and the Smooth Operators with their cover of Mellow Mood.
I'll play your favorite song, darling. We can rock it all night long, for a while. The iron is hot. Strike the hammer while the iron is hot. Strike the hammer while the iron is hot. Open up your heart. Open up your heart and let the love come running in. Darling, love, sweet love, darling. Quiet as the night. Please, please, please turn off your light.
Tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. Well, we're beginning to get ready for the Million Marijuana March all across the country and around the world and in some of the most unlikely of places. And we turn now to actually my hometown of Boise, Idaho, and we're joined now by Cameron Rose, who's in charge of Committed Americans for Marijuana. Cameron, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So the Million Marijuana March takes place on the first Saturday of every May, and this May 3rd will be that date. And tell everyone in the Idaho Treasure Valley area about the Boise version of the Million Marijuana March.
Well, what's going to happen is on May 3rd, we are going to meet at Julia Davis Park, which is right downtown Boise, at 2 p.m. We are going to go down there and basically protest our stuff. We're going to say that we don't believe marijuana laws should be, you know, illegal. We're going to stand up and say what we say. We might march down to the city hall to where we will just stand there. We are also working on being a part of the Boise State University's Spring Fling, which will be down at Julia Davis Park, at which point we will have a booth with four petitions for people to start getting signatures for to change marijuana laws in Boise.
How do you see the support of the people in the area in Boise? I know growing up there, it was quite conservative. Have things liberalized a little bit where people are open to that message?
In all honesty, I have to say I must be surprised and say there is. I found a lot of people in this state that are just completely for changing the laws. Maybe not completely for the legalization, but at least for medical marijuana and not it being a big police priority and attacking the personal users, I've found people from young to old, from the poor to the rich, that have all agreed that it should be changed.
Well, that's great to hear, and coming out of Boise, Idaho, that's even better to hear. So
yeah, I love hearing that.
So Committed Americans for Marijuana is your organization, and we'll have a link up on our website at stash.normal.org so you can get all the information on this. So this will be the, is this, as far as you know, the first Million Marijuana March in Boise in a recent?
No, I believe that this is the 8th annual in Boise. The guy that's been running it, that I've been working with, name is Reverend Thomas Hayes.
Okay.
And he's been working with me, and we've been gathering people, and been using the MySpace page that is with my link to generate people and inform them of what's going on, because that's the younger community that are just now being able to vote. And their vote's the most important, because I found that they're the biggest crowd that agrees there's nothing wrong with marijuana.
Yeah, and Boise being a university town, you're going to have a lot of younger people to draw from, I believe.
Exactly, and that's where we've actually started creating a student organization called SDSP, which is Students for Sensible Drug Policies.
Right, SSDP, we speak with Chris Crane, the executive director, all the time, and that's a great campaign that any students out there listening to the podcast ought to check out. You can learn more about them at ssdp.org. So as the summer comes up, there's a lot of hemp festivals and things going on all across the country. Any plans to put together something like that for a summertime event in the Boise area?
I might. I know that there is an event called Aesthetic Evolution that is kind of like the Burning Man for Idaho. And I do plan on going there with the petitions to generate the last couple signatures, because it's going to be like the last big event, possibly not, though. I've got a lot planned, but I'm going to do the best that I can to push it and keep it going, so that way people really see that it can and will happen as long as we just stand up and want it to.
That's absolutely right. It all takes us working together. This is a grassroots effort. And speaking of those efforts, let's talk a little bit about the legalization side politically there in Idaho. Do you have any supporters within the legislature or any prominent figures in the government that are willing to take a stand on medical marijuana or decriminalization or any of these issues?
The way it's been explained to me is we do have people that will. They just won't stand up and do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They want somebody that will bring out these petitions and have the people vote on it, and then they'll back them.
Now, does Idaho have a statewide initiative program where you can do a measure like that?
We do have the statewide initiative petition. There's actually been a lot of discrepancies in which format to follow, and it's been a real pain in the butt. But we have gotten all the approvals. I'm going into one last meeting next Tuesday, in which I will get the final approvals for the petition, and the petitions will then be ready to start gathering the 6,465 signatures needed on May 3rd.
Excellent. So May 3rd, Million Marijuana March Day. We want to make sure everyone gets involved with that at the Julie Davis Park, 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, and it'll probably be a beautiful day out there in Boise, Idaho, for everyone to march.
Yes, I am looking so much forward to it.
And just one completely unrelated question, true or false, Boise State's Fiesta Bowl win, greatest college football game ever?
That is the Cinderella story. I'm not a BSU fan, but I watched that game, and that was an amazing comeback.
As a guy who went to Boise State from 1985 to 1989, when we were always losing, it was one of the joys of my lifetime. I just had to take this opportunity to get that into the podcast. Well, thanks for joining us. This has been Cameron Rose from Committed Americans for Marijuana out there in Boise, Idaho. Check out the MySpace page. We've got a link to it up on our blog at stash.normal.org. Cameron, thanks for making time for us today.
Oh, it was nice spending time with you.
Okay, we're going to go to the Lone Star State now. We're joined by the Public Relations Director for Texas Normal, Brad Ernst, joining us on the telephone today. Brad, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, we saw some really good news come out of Texas with a medical marijuana case that you had down there where a gentleman was able to use a necessity defense. That was some good news to hear.
Yeah, that was great news. That's the first time down here in Texas that happened. So hopefully we'll see it happen a lot more in the coming year.
Absolutely. And one of the ways that we can get the message out is through our activism and our protests. We wanted to talk to you about the upcoming Million Marijuana March and what's going on in Texas for the march on Saturday, May 3rd.
Well, here in Texas, we're calling it the Texas Cannabis Crusade. It's on May 3rd in conjunction with the worldwide Million Marijuana March. And it's an all-day festivities, starts at 10 o'clock at Zilker Park. That's on Barton Springs in Austin. And we're going to march at high noon down Barton Springs to the Capitol building, where we'll have the South Steps for about 3 hours. We're going to have speakers, music. We have three bands. We've got the Jitterbug Vipers, Shotgun Hustler, and Champagne with Friends performing. We also have Bruce Fox. He's the attorney. The attorney is a lifetime member of Normal. Like I said, we're having speakers at the Capitol. Miss High Times 2007 will be there to give her speech, throw her two cents in. Like I said, Bruce Fox, the attorney for Normal here in Texas, will be speaking to tell people what they can do to help themselves if they're ever in a situation where they need legal help in a marijuana cannabis case in Texas.
Well, a lot of this is just being prepared for dealing with police and knowing what to say and what your rights are. How does Texas Normal help our cannabis community down there in Texas to understand these rights?
Well, we're out all the time. We're out at events around in Austin, and hopefully the other chapters in Texas do the same around Houston and San Antonio. We go out, we spread the information that you need, the good information, what's going on with legislation, what's going on with what you need to know if you get pulled over. We have the Normal Freedom cards that we pass out, distribute. We have meetings once a month to inform everybody of what their rights are.
How can people find out more about these meetings? Do you guys have a website or a phone number that people can get a hold of you?
We do. The website is just texasnormal.org, texasnorml.org. And that has information how you can join the local Texas chapter of Normal. It also has information about our meetings, our upcoming events. The blog is on there. We keep the news. So pretty much if you add texasnormal.org to your bookmarks list, you'll be up to date on cannabis in Texas.
I was wondering, you know, Ron Paul just recently put forth a bill to protect medical marijuana states, and he also co-sponsored a bill with Democrat Barney Frank to decriminalize the possession of up to 3.5 ounces of marijuana. How does that fly down in Texas? Are you getting a lot of response about that bill?
Yes, we are getting response. Everybody that we have mentioned that bill to is definitely in support of it. Of course, we're usually preaching to the choir at the events, but we do have... Well, definitely, if we can reach as many people that we can reach with our message, we usually don't hear anybody that disagrees with us, and pretty much that's the standard, I'm sure, wherever you go. I mean, of course, there are people that disagree, but by and large, Texas is a huge state with tons of voters, and if we just had the voter efficacy that, I don't know, maybe California had, because California's passed these laws over a decade ago, and we're still sort of in the dark ages out here in Texas, so... My opinion, hopefully, that we have enough support from Texas to get all of our representatives to vote in favor of those bills.
We definitely hope so, and we want to see all of the states be able to decriminalize marijuana to some degree. There's absolutely no reason to arrest and prosecute responsible American marijuana consumers. It's just a waste of time and money. So we want to thank you, Brad Ernst, for the Public Relations Director from Texas Normal, for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. And again, the website is texasnormal.org. Brad, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another cannabis quote, this one from God, who said, quote, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food," end quote. That, of course, is from the Christian Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29.
And there are so many other religious aspects to the use of cannabis that are being prohibited here in the United States of America. It's time to stand up for our religious freedom and end adult marijuana prohibition. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for tuning into The Stash. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews that you can use for your cannabis community. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.